Hare Krishna. Dear devotees, cushion for Maharaj, a nice dirty cushion. Excuse me. Honored to be able to be here and participate in this 40th anniversary celebration of Radha Gokulananda's manifestation here in Bhaktivedanta Manor. And of course, Bhaktivedanta Manor manifesting here in Pigott's Manor, which was also Srila Prabhupada's visits here at that time. And when Shruti asked me to, if I would speak sometime, I said I would. And however, I'll have to tell it more like a story than some kind of historical narration. And sort of from my perspective, which was more a UK perspective rather than a manor perspective, I lived here for some time in different places, sometimes in the car park, sometimes in the tennis court, sometimes in the on top of the stables, or in Aldenham House. But there were also other places that my services took me to. So I got a sort of different perspective, and I mentioned that that would be the most honest thing that I could do, a truthful thing. And also I'm not very good at dates. I can remember events, but exactly when they happened is not my forte. Shishu Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Yeah, please move forward and give the ladies more room, or come on up. But there are quite a few senior devotees here. I see Ramadevi just came in. Shruti's here, so if I need, I'll call on you for dates. Otherwise, I'll just sort of approximate or just not even refer to any dates. Dilip's here. Dilip. When was it that you came to Chaitanya College with the whole family, Dilip? When was that? 82. I got a first threatening message I got from Prana. I barely knew him, but he said, I was the president at that time. He said, this whole family is coming up, and they all, well, I don't know how many patronships. He says, you better take care of them nicely. So that was our first meeting. Kaushik, you, and everyone was there. Yeah. So, Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjanaya Salakaya Chakshuran Militam Jina Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I guess all stories, or these stories start out, my first visit to Bhaktivedanta Manor was in 1979. And at that time I was coming from Chicago. And by that time there was sort of a... I'm looking for Guru Charan Padma. There was a move from Chicago to the UK by some devotees, because Tamal Krishna Maharaj had taken over as the GBC, and prior to him, Jai Tirtha Prabhu was the GBC. So quite a few devotees at that time came. Jivapati was one. He came back. He was there in Chicago. Guru Charna Padma was another. And anyone else who's here now who came? There were others. Jiva Pavana was also someone who came. And then in that period of time, I had an interesting escapade where I went down to Texas and Oklahoma, and I lived on a farm with rattlesnakes and cottonhead snakes and so on. It's a very, very exciting time. And that was 1979. But in 1979 I came. That was when I came to take sannyas, and I stopped here because Sri Pati had also come. And he was my temple president back from Montreal days. And I remember him picking me up at the airport, and he brought me, and I stayed for a couple of days. I also went to see Soho Street. At that time, Rancho Prabhu was renovating, and as I remember, the top floors weren't quite done. Temple room was being worked on by that Maharaji who had actually designed it from San Diego. And I remember coming in the temple room. At least I remember Mangal Artik. It was just the Shringasan was so stunning. And that was just around that time that the Shringasan had been gold-plated and gold-leafed. And it was a phenomenon. I couldn't believe it. I said, this is really the spiritual world. It was just like this blazing gold and effulgence with Radha Gokulananda, who I'd never really seen before, although I'd actually seen even in my pre-devotee days. I remember a book that I got was On the Way to Krishna. And On the Way to Krishna shows a semi-profile shot of Gokulananda. And I used to always look at that picture. And at first I couldn't figure out whether this is alive, or this was a person, or is it something else. And what is that? What is that something else? Because I'd never seen a deity of Krishna before. But I was always mesmerized by how beautiful Gokulananda was. And then from here, here went to India, and that was the year that he took sannyas. And then on the way back, I dropped off another devotee from Chicago, who was Kishore Kishore. And he was here and very much involved in Sankirtan book distribution. At that time, UK was the leader in book distribution in ISKCON, competing with, there was always this tug of war between Rameshwar Maharaj and Jai Tirtha Prabhu. So I guess it was the West Coast and the UK. And so book distribution was really, really booming. It was really at its height. And then a year later, I came back. That was in the spring of 1980. At that time, Jai Tirtha Prabhu was the GBC here. He was also the guru. And I also had a very nice relationship with him. And so I had a falling out with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Wasn't the only falling out we had in our relationship, but that didn't interfere with our love for each other and our relationship. And so I came here on a one-way ticket, so that when I knew that I got the inevitable telephone call that, you know, when are you coming back? I said, I only got a one-way ticket. And that was an interesting time. I got the okay from Shuri that I'm going to tell history as it happened. I'm not particularly going to gloss over anything. There was another Canadian devotee here who I knew from Toronto days, who has become sort of infamous by now. His name is Rochon Prabhu. He was a very charismatic preacher at that time in Canada. I joined in Montreal in 1973. And from there, I was sent to Winnipeg. And from Winnipeg, we went to start a temple in Minneapolis. And then from Minneapolis, we were asked to go to Chicago. And from Chicago, we came here. And he picked me up at the airport, and we went to Chaitanya College. I'd read about it. I don't know who's seen Chaitanya College. I mean, devotees who... I see other devotees who, since we've sold it. It's an extraordinary place. I can't talk too much about it, because then I start to cry. It was such a wonderful, wonderful part of the UK Yatra. And although I will talk about it later on. I may cry, but... And he picked me up, took me out to Chaitanya College, and that was in the long room, which was the temporary temple room at that time. That was before the temple room in the chapel had been completed. Kamsahanta Prabhu was doing that. And I walked in, and it was this... The long room is a really long room. It's about three times as long as here and a little wider. These were enormous spaces. And I walked in, and just as I walked in, there was this sort of kirtan going on. Jai Tirth Prabhu fell off the Vyasasan. That was my entrance. That's how I remember coming, entering the UK Yatra. And I thought, my Lord, what's going on here? He was a very wonderful devotee, a very, very capable person, very nice person. Anyway, but just to make a long story short, he felt under pressure being a guru. He really felt that he needed to advance and exhibit Krishna consciousness, and somehow or another, I never quite really knew the details at that time, because I never got to talk to him about it that close personally afterwards, but he got into the... He started taking on a trip through, I think it was Thailand, Bangkok, started taking LSD. And he was on LSD when he fell off that Vyasasan. He was sitting here on a Vyasasan once on LSD, on a very famous kirtan. Please believe me, I'm sincere, kirtan. Ramadevi, you were here? And that was, I think UK Yatra always had a turbulent history, or at least prior to that. It had a real regular, what's that called? A relay race between GBC members passing the baton one to the other. And not necessarily because they were running, but because they were sort of slipping and sliding. But that was a very... very extraordinary time. And that happened right in the spring of 1980 up until finally Bhagwan Prabhu came here. And I can't get into the details. That would take more than 2 hours. But a lot of things happened. Many devotees. That was actually corresponding with 1981 Gaur Purnima festival. And Jai Tirtha Prabhu, then he tried to, devotees really inspired him to sort of stand on his feet. He took sannyas, fell down from the sannyas. He again took sannyas, he again sort of reaffirmed his sannyas. He got a lot of encouragement from B.R. Sridhar Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's godbrother. That connection caused certain levels of confusion, and then finally at a certain point he sort of left, he splintered, and when he did, it was a real large contingent of devotees left with him. And for the most part, they came back, but it took some while before they came back. So that was a phase. At that time, or at least prior to that time, UK Yatra was really, really booming. There was this extraordinary devotee making team. Vipramukha Prabhu, Dhanavir Maharaj, Rohini Nandan, between Soho Street and the Manor and Chaitanya College. They were making devotees downtown. They were bringing them here from weekend retreats. From here, they were shipping them off to Chaitanya College for three-month bhakta course. I don't know. I always remember this one figure that at one point, they're making 100 devotees a month, or at least 100 devotees were going through this system. So it was, and the credit really went to Jai Tirtha Prabhu's ability to galvanize people. He attracted good people. He gave shelter. He was a very good manager and organizer, and all of those devotees went out on Sankirtan. And so book distribution was really, really booming. So the first thing I did when I came was I got involved in book distribution. And I became there was a national, one of the setup of the Yatra at that time was that it was all sort of centralized, the devotee making was centralized, the book distribution, it was one large national book distribution party, and these were the temples. We had no other temples, right? There was nothing else at that time. And so there were a lot of Sankirtan devotees, and they were distributing lots of books. In fact, I remember that we printed last chapter of Bhagavatam that Srila Prabhupada into a separate little book, little Bhagavatam. And we printed that. Those for a pound. At that time, the pound really was phenomenally strong against the dollar. And we're getting books for like a pound and selling big hardbound books. So book distribution was really going well up until that stage that Jai Tirtha Prabhu left. And at one stage here at the manor, there were like three devotees. Devotees to take care of the deities. As far as I remember, it was Astasaki was trying to do everything from morning to night, doing all the offerings, Astasaki Mataji. And the Sankirtan party, or at least a good part of the Sankirtan party, also disappeared. There was a certain portion that I'd taken to India that sort of remained intact over there with me, but then others, I'm getting upstaged here. Someone take control. I made a mistake. When we first came, devotees were selling records. Right? The devotees were selling records. And that was the first, that I stopped right away. There were very, very cheap mass bulk records that they would buy, and then they were saying a lot. I think that was for really the finances, number one, of building, finishing Soho Street and paying the mortgage that we got from the bank for that, and simultaneously also Chaitanya College. Which was, at that time, pot for £350,000, which was sort of a big number. Nowadays, it's like a garage in Lechmore Heath costs that much. And there was a 3-monthly mortgage payment of £20,000. And that was the challenge to me to pay that on a regular basis. And yes, so I Sankhanali, I stopped the record sales, and just to emphasize the book distribution, when Jayatirtha left again, then it wasn't possible to maintain everything. So on one visit to Canada, I guess I must have been there. Well, I don't know why I was there, but I was there in Toronto. But on one visit to Canada, I must have gone to Montreal to visit my parents. And from there, I went to Toronto. I saw devotees were experimenting with selling paintings, oil paintings. And so I brought some back, and then it was Sri Giridhari, Kamsahanta. They sort of started it as a bit of a grihastha business, and then that really exploded and became a major financial base. So we ended up becoming it was called Quality Fine Arts. We had a separate company, and we're selling paintings, and really that went on from about 82, 83 to 80, 87. And at that time, I was stationed at the Manor, at the Chaitanya College, which for those who haven't seen it, was this beautiful, beautiful estate. And it had belonged to the Earl of Coventry. It was one of his palaces. It had phenomenal rooms, beautiful places. It had beautiful grounds. And of course, what existed at that time was just really a part of what used to be the estate, which was 14,000 acres, something phenomenal. And but it was very, very impressive, and it was extremely, it was very well thought out. It served as Gurukul was there at the time. It was a Midland center. It was very close to Birmingham, and Birmingham is a big city. It's the second largest city in the country. Not only Birmingham, but Leicester and Coventry, so everything was really very, very close. It was a great place to, because we had this strategy for making devotees, for bringing the devotees there and training devotees. It was a wonderful place for congregation, for guests to come, and it had lots of facility. It had 70,000 square feet at that time of space. The manor altogether is 14,000, right? So it was five times the size, and there was lots of scope for further construction. They had there was a walled garden. The walled garden was 10 acres, 14 acres. It was the biggest walled garden in the country. And in its heyday, which was back in 18th century, they used to grow lemon trees, citrus trees. They had greenhouses and walls inside of it that they used to heat. So it was a very and really it was a pittance for what it was and the facility that it really offered. Gurukula was there. It was a wonderful place for children, and it was in the country. It was in the Vale of Evesham, which is one of the loveliest places in the UK. So that was around 1980. That was around 1982, and I'm just trying to keep pace between the years and the hands of the clock here. And then at 1982, when Jayatirtha Prabhu really sort of left ISKCON and split. And that was a very dramatic event that took place in Mayapur. You were there, Maharaj. And it was really, really far out. There were all kinds of things going on. He and his followers coming to do Harinam in the middle of a Bhagavatam class in Mayapur, Chandra doing Mandir. and him meeting, and there were devotees coming and going, and Tirthapad, that was his honorific title. Tirthapad is the only way, and you have to come back. And the GBC, we actually had a GBC meeting in Chaitanya College. It was an extraordinary GBC meeting in Chaitanya College at that time. And that was when I had a falling out with Tamal Krishna Maharaj again, just over the breakfast menu. We had, because we had all these GBC men and assistants and everything, and it was sort of a stretch, taking care of everything, and that was really impromptu. They just like phoned up and says, "We're coming, we're having a meeting." And so I had a relatively austere breakfast. And after the breakfast, Tamal Krishna Maharaj comes, he says, "Are you crazy? You want us to just eat this and have meetings on this?" I said, I thought it was all right. Good thing just at that time when that happened, this shipment of big trunk arrived from New Vrindavan. At that time, also, Kirtananda Maharaj was still part of the GBC, and he had. So just as I was talking, and Kirtananda Maharaj opened this trunk over there, and told Tamal Krishna Maharaj, look, you can just take whatever you want. Here are all these goodies from New Vrindavan, and they had cheese and all kinds of things. Anyway, but that was a friendly. And then next day I had a better breakfast, bigger breakfast. And the conclusion of that meeting was that, it needed a GBC, and Bhagavan Das, who was at that time the GBC for France and Italy and Spain and Benelux, he would become the GBC of the UK. And he was a very charismatic, very good manager, very very capable person. As it turned out, he also had his weaknesses, pride being one of them. And then for a period from 82 to 87, he was the GBC. It wasn't an easy time. UK Yatra was really financially strapped because we'd really literally lost many devotees. The whole Sankirtan, a good portion of the Sankirtan devotees, I'd say probably 80% of the Sankirtan force, had sort of left. I mean, when they came back, they were not necessarily in the immediate spirit of just, going out and doing, at that time, painting sales. And same thing here. So he was injecting about 20,000 pounds a month into this yatra from other parts of his zone, and ultimately from the BBT as well, because he was also a BBT trustee, for which there was a real war between him and Harikesh Prabhu, who was North European. GBC and also BBT trustee, and he kept the UK Yatra on its feet. Otherwise, financially, really wouldn't have survived. And he also really gelled. He gave inspiration to the devotees, and there may have been many flaws or some flaws and defects, and ultimately what his so methodology was a motive, but at least it worked. That again, after Jai Tirtha Prabhu's demise, which ended up sort of quite unfortunate, in that I remember Bhagavan was here at that time, and I think he was here, and we received the news that one of Jai Tirtha's disciples had actually killed him. One of his faithful disciples, not one of his faithful, his most faithful, his most fanatical disciple, Navaneeta Chora. Anyway, in the temple, I won't even say, but some of you know how he died. It was pretty gruesome. And that was quite a shocking event, very, very unfortunate event. And I'll just tell one story connected to that, which was really stuck in my mind. And that was the GBC meeting following that event. I'm just thinking because I wasn't really a GBC. Ever since this GBC meeting in Chaitanya College, they had always asked me, even though I wasn't a GBC member, since 1982 I was sitting in on GBC meetings. And then in 1987 I officially became the GBC for UK and Ireland. And but there was this GBC meeting where this meeting was going on. And this black parrot kept coming and banging on the window. Excuse me, a black crow, not the parrot, black crow. Yeah, I've never seen a black parrot. Black crow, big black crow. And we were having these meetings, and this crow, day after day after day, was coming and banging on the window, flapping with its wings. And so one day when this was happening, I was sitting in this side of the room, and Ridhananda Maharaj was in the other side of the room, and I think it was Jagadish Prabhu was sitting in the other side of the room, three different corners. And simultaneously, we all said, because everyone just stopped, here's the parrot, the crow again, and everyone, we all said simultaneously, it's Joy Tirtha. And because all three of us said it spontaneously at the same time, everyone went quiet. And said, I don't know whether it was or not, but it was quite a coincidental thing that we all... no doubt he got the reaction for some of his misdeeds, but also his svapamapiyasadharmasyatrayatimahatubayat, but for his devotional service, then... He also got eternal benefit. And being a crow in Mayapur is not a bad thing. Especially since if you leave your body, unless you happen to fly out. If you leave your body in Mayapur, you're doing all right. Things really sort of were stable, although, as I mentioned, financially really unstable. In 1986, Chaitanya College was sold. 1986. Bhagwan brought... 85?
86, Bhagwan.
No. 84, we sold Chaitanya College. Bhagwan left in 86 or 87? 86, you're right, 86. 86, that's right. And, 84, we sold Chaitanya College. Bhagwan had brought one of my godbrothers, Drishtadyumna Prabhu, who was very, very close to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, although he sort of entreated him to come to the UK, and he became, I think we called it the national secretary at the time. And when did you join Vishwambhar?
1980, but I came here 84.
You joined when?
I came here 84, 1984.
And yeah, he came, and he didn't like Chaitanya College. He just didn't like it. And it was a bit too much of a headache, and it cost money, and we had to figure out this, where are we going to raise this £20,000? By that time, the temple room had been renovated. The temple room was very nice. Kamsahanta Prabhu, who some of you may know, who's originally from the UK, came to Canada. I knew him from Toronto, and who's an artist, and very, he's also a good preacher. Unfortunately, later on, he became a vehement Ritvik, but he designed the temple room, which was very, very beautiful. It was a Risen style, and then it was Jai Radhe or Sri Radhe who did the sculpting inside. Huh? Jai Radhe. She was an expert sculptor. And the altar was a little unusual, but it was Rathiatra cart. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulanda Ki Jai. So the altar had an altar, and on top of the altar was this Rathiatra cart, this full-on Rathiatra cart, because the inside was much higher. It was actually a chapel. And on the cart was Jagannath, and in front of the cart was Panchatattva. It's very, very nice. We had very wonderful kirtans in there. And so he thought, if we sell Chaitanya College, we'll solve our financial problems. We didn't necessarily solve our financial problems at all. But we found a buyer who, in theory, was supposed to pay £750,000. He only ended up paying, I think, about £400 or £450. That was a horrible fiasco. Probably the worst part of it is that UK Yatra sent Panchatattva to Rome. That wasn't a very good thing. That was quite a sad event. They actually came from Chaitanya College. They came here, they stayed here, they went to Srila Prabhupada's rooms for some time, and then they went to Rome. And for a long, long time, they've been in the possession of the Gaudiya Math. And although legally we've finally gotten rights over both the temple and the deities, but factually, they're still not in our possession as yet, but it's just now coming. So that was, you can imagine, they were beautiful, tall deities, beautiful deities, Panchatattva. And Jagannath went back to Soho Street. At that time, it was just Radhalanda Nishwara was in Soho Street. And so Jagannath went back, and they were situated as it was. Actually, I remember Jai Pitaka Maharaj came here to ensure that things were set up properly, and Jagannath actually had a suitable altar, a nice altar. When we moved Chaitanya College to here, I mean, there were a lot of devotees now. I can't remember the numbers as to how many devotees there were, but we had the Gurukul. We had all the devotees who lived in the temple, who lived near the temple, and everyone came moving back, and that's when things became very, very intense here. Up until that time, I was living, from the time that I moved to the UK, I was living in caravans. In Chaitanya College, even there, I was living in the caravan out in the back. We actually had a little caravan park over there. And then when we traveled, I remember we started a Sankirtan Center. It was started in Manchester. Then there was, remember the caravans? Because Gauri Prabhu used to drive. He was my driver assistant after Indranuj left. Oh, yeah, Indranuj. I remember the we actually had Temple on Wheels. I don't know, has anyone seen the Temple on Wheels picture? That was another phenomenal idea, brilliant idea. It was this beautiful, beautiful articulated lorry inside decorated as a temple, and devotees would travel. And that was also in the spring. I remember first going out, and there was Indranuj was the driver, and Nandagram, there were two of them. And I remember Kalyapani Prabhu was there, Kripamoya Prabhu was there, and I remember setting up in Bristol High Street, and these people would come in and out, and would preach, and they would do music outside. It was great. It was just such an impressive thing. It was really, really wonderful. And Bristol, that's where I remember. So We had that. In order to raise funds, we sold it to Italy. We sold, and they used it for some time, and I think they got good usage out of it. That was another wonderful asset of the UK Yatra. And one thing that Bhagwan did, he opened up centers in Leicester. Jagat Purush Prabhu went to Leicester, and that's where Vishwambar also went. And then in Manchester, we had what was the name of that? Where his mother actually let us use the place, Keshi Damana? Yeah. And that's where sort of a Sankirtan training, book distribution training base was. Other places, I think there's Dhanavir Maharaj went up to Scotland first, right? He went to Glasgow, and he had a place in Glasgow. Yes, I remember. I remember going to Glasgow. I remember when Jai Tirtha Prabhu came back. This was still, must have been in 81 or 82. And we'd gone up to Glasgow, and I remember going in the motorhome. I think it was Arjun was with me. It was him, myself, and I don't know who was driving. And we're going along the motorway, and this car passed, and he was honking and honking and pointing back in the rear. And he says, what's this guy honking about? And I looked in the back mirror, and I just saw this wheel rolling off to the side of the road, off the motorhome. And but we got into Glasgow, and I remember we got a telephone call that the Tirthapad was coming back, and everyone had to come back. I think that was the one that he actually had taken sannyas. And I remember that because the telephone was locked, and the only way I could make a telephone call was by tapping. And it wasn't a digital phone, it was still a dial, and it worked. And I tapped, and I was able to get in touch and find out what was going on, and then they actually turned around and came back. So we had these centers started to open. And and it was a struggle, and up until 1986, and at that time, different reasons. One, as I said, personal pride, trying to do too much, compromising perhaps his own spiritual standards. Bhagwan Das, he then literally ran away with one of his god sisters. So that was 1982, 1986. So that was another real slap in the face of the UK Yatra, in the Vaishnavas, and really there were so many wonderful devotees here. Senior devotees, it took its toll. It took its toll on devotees' faith. It took its toll on God brothers, God sisters, disciples, on our congregation. What's going on? So I remember many tearful meetings. In fact, I remember for 2 weeks. I sat in what's the patron's office now. That was at that time Bhagwan's room. And there was the couch. I remember sitting on that couch for 2 weeks from, I don't know, 9 in the morning till 9 at night, talking to devotees. It was very, very, very intense. And of course devotees were really, well, like that. They were brokenhearted. They felt betrayed. And having a meeting with the patrons at that time. And Akhandari Prabhu was the temple president at that time, right? He was. So it was, yeah, it was a challenging time, but things really sort of took a turn. Then in 87, I became officially the GBC, and then there were some real serious challenges. One was that there was no more finances coming from the rest of Bhagwan Zone. So I remember having national council meetings in what is now the library. That was sort of a dining room, and I think at one point we had them every day, and after that we had them every week. The first thing was that we had to cut £40,000 a month out of the budget, and that was extremely difficult. We dropped quality fine arts and went back to distributing books. It was like, you just may as well, like Draupadi, just throw your hands up in the air and just depend on Krishna. And of course, there was a lot of sacrifice involved. I hadn't mentioned, but at that time, I don't know if any of you have seen Aldenham House. It's a beautiful house just in Aldenham, just behind the church, just next to the church, back with its garden backing onto the church. That was at first Jayatirtha Prabhu's residence. It was a beautiful, beautiful big house. Later it became the Gurukul, and the Gurukul moved down. Then it became the men's Sankirtan and ladies' Sankirtan, and the men's Sankirtan got moved out, and it was just the ladies' Sankirtan. We were renting it from Aldenham Council, who offered it to us to buy it for £40,000. And we made a mistake of not buying it. And it had a couple of acres of grounds behind it. It was a very, very beautiful place. The tension, when we moved down here, I'm just to give you some idea, all these devotees all of a sudden just converged on the manor. And there was no place to stay, somehow or another. And things weren't as organized and systematic, or we didn't work in... Well, we were cooperative, but sort of very, very spontaneous. I remember I drove past somewhere and I saw these porta cabins. And I decided, brilliant, we'll just get porta cabins and stick them out on the manor parking lot. So I started renting, ordering these porta cabins that were £75 a month, which was really cheap. And I started sticking devotees in there. I moved into one, and I would take a bath from a bucket outside. And that was in the parking lot right here. And then I set one up for the Gurukul in the tennis court. And, you know, Lechmore Heath, they were just seeing these one after another. They were coming in sometimes. I don't know how many we had at one time, but we had quite a few. I think we must have had almost 10 of them all sprinkled around everywhere. And then, of course, everyone else had to start picking up the pieces. Then that was the Kanduri's problem as to what the consequences was with her Smirboro Council. And it was sort of one of the last straws where they really thought this is just like too much. And at that time, here at the manor, Janmashtamis were really starting to boom. When did it really start to explode? I just saw, if that thing, there was 1,000 in 80.
Yes, in 75, there was about 400 people, but in 82.
80, yeah. I remember at that time we were celebrating Janmashtami. It was inside, we still had the palace on wheels. And all of a sudden, all these people were coming. And they were all obviously all looking in and wanting to come in. And I said, what's going on? Where are all these people coming from? We're just planning to have a nice, peaceful Janmashtami over here and chant in here. And all of a sudden, all these people started showing up. And then, of course, not only, yeah. So anyway, those were the porta cabins. We got rid of them after a while. That was one of the agreements. And so back to when Bhagwan left, then we really had to, UK Yatra really had to stand on its feet. There was no one propping it up anymore. And so here at the manor at that time, it was still ICAP, or it was still ICAP? An ICAP man. ICAP stood for what?
Indian Community Affairs Program.
And that's what now we call
BMF.
In between that, wasn't there something else? UK.
You killed them.
And that was like a real explosion in cultivating the Indian community, who really turned to the manor. And all of a sudden, over a period of some years, the manor really became the focus of their place of worship. And then started the campaign. Campaign really started when did the Hertzmere Borough Council really lower the boom? '86, because it was '96 that we finally got Dharma, and it was 10 years. Yeah. So on top of all of that, you know, Hertzmere Borough Council served an order that, you know, you can't have festivals, you can't have so many people, you can't have all of these things. So we agreed on some type of, there was an agreement, right, that we could have six festivals a year, but it was limited. Sunday programs were limited. Noise was always being monitored, so-called noise. It was very, very tense. And we entered into a legal battle with, you know, one of the wealthiest councils in the UK, and that was to Akhandari Prabhu's eternal credit, both fighting it and winning it. And I remember there was sort of very tense times there, because how are we going to handle this? How are we going to actually do it? And I remember being in the theater once with, it was patrons and some devotees. I don't know why we're in the theater. And the discussion was there, because at first we started the ISKCON way. We just asked some lawyer who we knew to donate their time to fight the case. And we're sort of, Akhandari was really the one who was managing everything. He knew everything. And I remember the patrons being there, and I don't know who, they said, we're not going to win this case. Remember, they said, we're not going to win this case if we just have voluntary assistance, however well intentioned it may be. We need the best. And Natan says, we need to get the best lawyers. And of course, someone raised the question, who's going to pay for the best lawyers? And the answer came, I can't tell, he says, don't worry. He says, you just get it and we'll take care of it. And that was the patron's answer. We'll take care of whatever it takes. We'll take care of it to save the manor. And it took £1 million. That was a lot of money. It's a lot of money now. It's a lot of money at that time. It took £1 million to fight the court case, and we got the best. Sir Graham Eyre, who was the best zoning QC in the country, very, very famous. And now that was not just him, but then we also got other David Altraz and their offices. And so they were, I remember, for instance, during inquiry, it was costing us 2,000 pounds an hour. That was at the inquiry. It wasn't all the time. But their fees were like, you know, Graham Mayer's fees were like 500 pounds an hour for every time we just talked to him. And it was a lot of Lakshmi. And that was very, very exciting. This Graham Mayer was very... He was the one who got the permission for Heathrow 3, 2? Both 2 and 3. And he came here. And he's a very elderly, distinguished gentleman. And I remember once he wanted to know, okay, I want to know about Krishna consciousness. Give me some books. There's no problem here. Give me. But they read fast. These lawyers, they like speed read. You know, they got documents. I mean, you know, when they're fighting case, they bring in documents by the truckload at a time, and they have all their evidence and everything, and they know where everything is, or at least we've got secretaries who knows where everything is. But then he came back on another occasion, and anyway, you may have heard me say this before, but what he particularly liked was Prabhupada Lilamrita, and he was glorifying Srila Prabhupada. He says, and I don't know who it was, but we were there talking together with some of the senior devotees. He says, do you know what it takes to cross the ocean on a ship, on a rickety Indian ship, at age 70 years old? And of course we said yes. He says, no, you don't. He said, you don't know. He says, when you're 70, then you may know. He said, I know. And he had such great admiration for Srila Prabhupada just from reading Prabhupada Lilamrita. He didn't cut his prices, but he had great admiration. And that was a real battle. One of the highlights of that battle was the March on Parliament. That took place in 1994. And it was historic because it was probably the turning point in terms of giving a message to not only now Hrishmi Borough Council, but actually the government, that national government, that here was a force to be reckoned with, in that 35,000 Hindus marched on Parliament. What was equally amazing was that 35,000 Hindus got together and agreed on one thing. That was even more amazing. But of course, it didn't happen. Just if it would have been Muslims, it would have happened a long time ago. In fact, someone was out here who was sort of giving us advice. We had so many dinners and so many politicians. And I remember one politician saying, you know why you're having this problem? Because you're Hindus. If you were Muslims, the government would never dare to do this to you. He says, so we got the picture. Yeah, you've got to get organized. And that was an extraordinary event that was really wonderful. I remember Keith Vaz was there, and he was also speaking. And I flew from the GBC meetings in Mayapur back to the UK for that. And that really sort of, in one sense, made the issue. Ultimately, the issue came out from inquiry and ultimately went up to Parliament, and we got the decision to close the gate, build the rear access road, and that was 10 years. It was a 10-year battle. And in that 10 years, many wonderful things were taking place. You mentioned then Krishna Dharma Prabhu and Chintamani Dham went to Manchester. They opened a temple there. Tatikshri Prabhu went to Liverpool. Leicester was still going on. By then, I think Jagat Purush Prabhu may have left, but then Vishwambar was the president, and Scotland was really developing. Balabhadra Prabhu was in charge over there. That was also one of the one of the financial bases of the UK Yatra is that at a certain point, the Scottish Yatra, which was, we got in Karuna Bhavan, which was just one building, they were financing UK to £20,000 a month, to the tune of £20,000 a month. And that was going on for a couple of years. And then even to lesser amount. They were very, very, very generous. Where else? Wales. Wales. Who went out to Wales with a big London bus? Our godbrother. What is his name? Rasamandala. Rasamandala. Rasamandala had this double-decker London bus that he made into preaching. He went out to Wales, but it ended up starting out the Welsh Yatra. From there, there was a center there, quite a few devotees. Now Taraknath Prabhu is in charge. So that was taking place at that time. And then Birmingham. That was Govinda Bhakta. Yeah, I remember the Vishuddha Sattva, his previous name, Govinda Bhakta. And he started Birmingham. And Coventry, Haridas Prabhu got Coventry, that place that serves as our temple there on the edge of this park, if you've ever been there. That was like a Krishna's mercy, £15,000. And so temple started opening throughout the UK. Newcastle, Divya Singha went to Newcastle first. And then from him, Bhakti Ras took over. So these were the centers, and to all intents and purposes, they're still there. Part of the dynamic of the UK was that when all the devotees came to the manor really became and still is the center of the UK Yatra, which is good in many in many ways, and the manor really enjoys a lot of benefit from that. It was always a problem for the smaller centers. All the devotees that they would make at the smaller centers, where there were no deities and no big group of devotees and so on, they always gravitated to coming down to the manor. It was a constant source of conflict, but frustration. Our management at that time became, from Jai Tirtha's time, and Bhagwan also maintained quite a centralized system. Then it became sort of decentralized. Although Srila Prabhupada originally set up one trust one charity in the UK in 1969, generally, Srila Prabhupada's idea was the temple should be independent, they should stand on their own feet, and they should be encouraged to develop on their own. So as sort of a rebound off of that type of centralization over a period of a good 10 years almost, then there became an intense regionalization, and which was unfortunate because some of the benefits of that, namely the cooperative method of making devotees, which was really extraordinary. The Soho Street Manor, Chaitanya College. Of course, there was no Chaitanya College, but still, that cooperative method of working together. Even Sankirtan book distribution was never really as good. Although, right up, I think, up until around 96, 97, things were really, really doing well. UK Yatra was competing with Germany, Switzerland for yearly book distribution scores, Christmas marathons, a lot of books were going out. And in 87, I started going back to I went to Hungary. Somehow Harikesh Prabhu, who's the GBC, official GBC, found out that I was of Hungarian origin, and he talked me into going there. And from that time I started to go. The UK Yatra was by around 1988-89, actually financially things were sort of on a keel or getting on a keel. I'd say maybe by 1990 things were actually Scotland didn't have to be bailing out UK, paying for Soho Street's mortgage payments. More or less everyone started to stand on their own feet. There were different temple presidents at Soho Street, Rancho Prabhu, Kesha Bharati Maharaj, Bhagwata Shraya Prabhu, who else? Dayal Nitai, Damodar was here at a certain point, Akandari Prabhu. When did Akandari go to Buckland? My opinion, it was a shame, it was a great loss. I think he was very, very dedicated to the manor. He was one of those people who he really dedicated. There was a lot of community attrition at that time, and I think that contributed mostly to his wanting to be out of the firing line, where anyone knows that if you're living at the manor, what to speak of if you're managing or if you're temple president, you're fair game for anything from anyone. And as Akandari Prabhu once told me, that you really got to be thick-skinned. It was good advice he gave me. He says, you got to be thick-skinned here. It was a loss. I think that was one of the major losses to the UK Yatras, having Akandari Prabhu not here at the manor. He's a real genius, very, very, very brilliant person, and I think he really sort of made his mark in Srila Prabhupada's book by winning this case. That was the type of thing when Prabhupada would really note that someone really, and he really fought, he organized and fought. So I always tell him that I'm sure his ticket back to Godhead is guaranteed just by that service alone. There was very, very nice dynamic in that period of time between devotees and Bhagwata Sharpa, who was at Soho Street. Kesha Bharati Maharaj was also there making devotees. Akandari Prabhu was here. Balabhadra was up in Scotland. It was many devotees involved. Kripa Moy Prabhu was doing congregational preaching. It was a very nice team. I'll tell you a dream I had. I don't really talk about dreams, and this was in Manchester, and I didn't have a motorhome at that time. It was still a trailer. You know, what do you call it? Caravan that you pull with a car. And Krishnadharan Prabhu later suggested, you know, this is a waste, two different things. Why don't you just get a motorhome? And that's when I started getting motorhome. And from there, from 1980 up until 97, for about 15 years, I just lived in a motorhome. There was one period of time when I lived for a year here at the manor, upstairs, and I fixed up that room, make it habitable, and then a little I stayed for a couple of months up in upstairs, when it wasn't possible, it wasn't allowed, you couldn't stay here in anything on the parking lots or anything. That was like taboo with the council. And anyway, I was in the camper, Manchester, parked outside the temple, which is where I used to travel in that period of time when I was the GBC, from around 87 through till around, for about 10 years. I traveled around the country probably 5-6 times a year. I mean, I was constantly on the move. And that was in Wally Range, if you know Wally Range. And it was, what's the name of the street? Mayfield Road. And at that time, if you had a camper out on Mayfield Road, this is all the prostitutes are out on the corner and they walk the streets. So you got a camper there, they come, knocking on the door constantly. And I was parked up outside, and I had this dream. And the dream was here at the manor, and it was deities, Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, and Radha Gokul Nanda, and they sort of came to life. But particularly Lord Ramachandra. And this was, it was sort of more of a dream. It was really alive. And Radha Gokul Nanda weren't saying anything, but Lord Ramachandra started talking. And I can't remember all the details anymore. I usually write down my dreams, so it's written down. But one thing that he really said, he said, if you cooperate together with your godbrothers and you work together, then the preaching will be very successful. And then he pointed to Gokul Nanda, and Gokul Nanda will be very pleased. And then I woke up, and this whole caravan, it was like glowing. I didn't know where I was, and I couldn't go back to sleep. And I really felt, particularly Lord Ramachandra's presence was so overpowering. So I was just like wired up all day. I didn't move. I was just sitting there in the corner chanting my rounds. And that cooperative spirit was very, very good. It was actually what really saved the UK Yatra, and it was something different than what happened before. There was a Jayatirtha Prabhu who came after, I think Hamsaduta was there before, right? And he dropped the ball. And then there was a Bhagwan who came in and he dropped the ball. But actually now there wasn't anyone coming in from outside, there was no Messiah. It was just the devotees of the UK Yatra who were really doing the needful, taking the responsibility, and things happened. Things really moved along, and things developed. I'm going to start winding up, but at that point, I also started to get a little distracted from 1990 from. 87, I started going to Hungary. There's nothing going on there. It was, I finally made use of my old wig from my Chicago days, because that's how I had to go in at that time, in Carmi clothes, because between 80, it was only in 89 that the entire Russian regime crumbled. And For 2 years, everything was incognito, with just little programs here and there. Sometimes devotees braved going out into the square in Carmi clothes and having kirtan, but it was more like people took it as a fad. They didn't know what it was. But then in 89, things really exploded. It was like extraordinary. It was an explosion. Here are all these people who had been suppressed for the last 40 years of communist reign since the end of the Second World War, and they didn't know, they didn't have television, they didn't have drugs. In Hungary, if you didn't work, they threw you in jail. There was no such thing as unemployment, and that was going on everywhere in USSR. There was no sense gratification. There was nothing. So I always regret that if ISKCON would have been organized, we could have really made massive inroads at that time, because that's how all of these wealthy, what they call nowadays the Russian oligarchs and all these people, they just snapped up what was at that time communal property that the governments were just dropping, they bought them for pittance, and they became billionaires. And things like buying property at the time, it was like nothing. Even our farm at that time, we were purchasing, which was sometime later, I was in 93 already, we purchased land at 15. Well, in present currency, it's sort of absurd, but it's at about 20 pounds an acre. That's present. But at that time, that was more like about 100 pounds an acre. And as much as you can buy. I just sort of stopped when we came to like 150 hectares, which is about 400 acres. I said, what are we going to do with all this land? But would it be much more wise to buy more? And I think that sometime in the future, when China opens, if ISKCON's really ready for that day to just walk into that 1.2 billion people who are real readers, we could be. I'm always dream of that, standing on the street corner in China and selling Bhagavatams. Like what they did in Russia. Those in, they were advertising on the subways, and devotees were standing there, and we had phenomenal book distribution, and people were just coming up and buying Bhagavad Gitas. It was a very, very exciting time. So things exploded, and I started getting into a dichotomy that I couldn't give enough time to Hungary, and I couldn't give enough time to the UK. So at a certain point, I felt like I needed to decide either one or the other. And especially since I was traveling in this motorhome, and at that time, first I had Gaur Prabhu was my first assistant and driver. After him was Madan Gopal, and who died, not driving or anything. And then was Abhi Manyu. And around 96 or 97, that's when I think sold the motorhome. But I was traveling back and forth from the UK to Hungary, 1 month there, 1 month here, 1 month there. I can drive blindfolded from here to, although I wasn't driving. I was either studying or usually resting. Abhi Manyu was the only person I trust to drive, and I'd sleep in the back. The longer he drove, the more awake he got. And so at a certain point, when was it, 2004, 2005, that Prakash became the GBC? Something like that. Carrying on to 10 years. So Prakash Prabhu I knew, known very well. I encouraged the GBC to take him on as a GBC member. He was a GBC just for Ireland at that time. So Ireland I sort of really sort of pulled out of. That was also something else that I had difficulty in shouldering, especially overseeing the care of the deities there. And so then I moved. Then I moved there, and at that point I stopped officially being the GBC. Or I come once a year, and then when I come, I'm here, and then they introduce me. And every time they introduce me, I think, wow, I'm a real stranger here. I need an introduction. But it was a very, very nice, very exciting 25 years, more or less. Wasn't what I thought I was getting involved in when I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement. I thought I was just chanting Hare Krishna and being happy. Yes, I remember I sort of started developing a nervous condition at a certain point when we had certain, at that time, life members who decided that life members were actually, should be the legal voting members of the company, of the charitable company of ISKCON UK, and therefore they should decide everything. In other words, it was a takeover. And that was the first time in my Krishna conscious career that I couldn't sleep at night. I really knew something was wrong because I never had any problems sleeping. And but anyway, that that worked out. That was a real adventure. It worked out by having to actually get in touch with the original trustees, Gurudas Prabhu, Shyamasundar Prabhu, and all of them. And there were a lot of... Of course, the most wonderful part of it all was devotees, associating with devotees. I haven't mentioned many devotees' names. Devotees who, as I mentioned, something like that, someone who... And even sometimes we see devotees have sort of, difficulty, just like, for instance, Balabhadra Prabhu, he's sort of living isolated in Stirling, I think up there. But he was another person who was an unbelievably generous person, and for many years the Scottish Yatra really just sort of worked to assist the UK Yatra get back on its feet, real sort of Sankirtan leader. So I mentioned Bhagwatashraya, who was... Well, he's here. He's up in Nottingham. That's right. And then we had Nottingham Namhara. And then Namhara, the whole Namhara concept started to develop. That started off with Amita Prabhu and friends. Folk. Started off with folk, friends of Lord Krishna. And devotees are our asset. Devotees are the main thing. And... over time, unfortunately, you see a lot of things. Radha Gokulanda are here, they're as effulgent as ever. They weather the storm, they continue to smile. And although no doubt they're not necessarily happy by everything that happened, but devotees go through, devotees see many things. Srila Prabhupada, one letter talks about that to think that Krishna consciousness is going to be a utopia, he says, I think he says it's impersonal. He says, don't think like that. Yeah? Yeah, it's not... Go ahead, Maharaj. Yeah. It's chant and be happy. As long as you're chanting, you're happy. And chanting is really the only thing that gets us through. But there's a lot of water under the bridge. And what really, really shows is, in fact, I remember this very, very nice Vyas Puja offering that Bhagwan wrote, ironically. And it ended by... I'm just sort of paraphrasing. He says that time will tell who stayed and who was left behind. And that's what really, I think, is the currency that buys Srila Prabhupada's and their lordship's favor, is that whatever happens, and so many things are going to happen in the material world, the devotees remain dedicated, and whether they are, whether they're patrons or full-time devotees or book distributors or gurukul teachers, cooks, ladies, men, remain committed to seeing Srila Prabhupada's mission take hold and really manifest in the way that he wanted to see it manifest and here in the UK. Prabhupada said many times there are casualties in the war. It's a statement. That doesn't mean that people don't lament the casualties. We lament the casualties, and the casualties are also remembered, and just like in the material world, they have, of course, they erect monuments and they remember those who did actually fall. In Krishna consciousness, of course, Krishna remembers, and that's different. That's much more powerful. It's much more potent. So it's wonderful when actually devotees continue on and they stay. This is my Prabhudatta Desh. And there's some examples, you know, devotees. Here's Shuri and Prana. They're like, you know, they're like tar babies. You can't shake them off the manor. And other devotees who have stayed throughout the years and who continue to stay and remain dedicated. Srila Prabhupada really liked that when devotees were very dedicated, where they stuck to their service. It's like in this one conversation, devotees asking, Srila Prabhupada, how should we take dreams of Krishna? The devotee's idea was, you know, when you're dreaming about Krishna, how should we take that? And Srila Prabhupada just sort of changes the whole conversation and he says, dream. The important thing is service. What are you doing? And that you continue with your service. In other words, you may have a dream, you may not have a dream, but ultimately if you do your service, then Krishna consciousness will really become a reality. Krishna, the holy name, the parampara, will give their blessings. And so Arjun stuck it out, as unpleasant as it may have been, as many soldiers as fell on the battlefield, as much heartache as may have been involved, even in fighting against Bhishma Dev. It seems like a type of phenomena that we have in ISKCON, that those people who are your Bhishma Devs, they end up your grandparents, or you end up fighting with them sometimes on the battlefield. You have to face them, and we do that sometimes. Devotees come out with different types of over the years. Actually, ISKCON UK was the home of Ritvik philosophy. It's no credit to ISKCON UK, but this is really sort of where it took birth. Krishna Kant Desai. I remember when we had our Sankirtan house over in Watford, and him sitting with me sometime around in 1986, so talking, well, can't Prabhupada really, and he was still a university student, can't Prabhupada just really be the guru, the initiating guru? He said, no, it can't be the initiating guru. And since then, and that's one way that sometimes devotees get off on a tangent in terms of philosophically, and then one has to do battle with them. And Hare Krishna, anyway, there's lots of history there. Someone should always be writing book. There should always be actually a history of, at least we should have a history of ISKCON UK, where everything's recorded, because people forget. People forget. When I was writing this book, Navaraja Mahima, and I was trying to get the date when I brought the deities from London to Budapest, devotees had forgotten. It was only like 12 years had gone by, but devotees had already, and everyone had different opinions. When did Radha Shyam come? When did I bring Gaur Nitai? I had my office up there. I used to be my office, and and at that time when I got the deities, Radhapad in India, who's a Bengali gentleman, he sponsored many deities around ISKCON, and he also sponsored both Gaur Nitai and Radha Shyam for Hungary. And so Radha Shyam Sundar, they sat for 2 years on that window ledge over there in my office. Unless things are written down, don't trust anything to memory. And it's such an important thing, actually. It's important for the sake of records. It's important for the sake of history, so that we can actually learn from history and see, no, that's already been done before. Don't do that. We already learned from that. And many good things, many mistakes. And so that we also don't forget, the Vaishnavas who've actually, in due course of time, giving their whole lives. That's a fortunate thing, that's a wonderful thing, when you can actually give your whole life to Srila Prabhupada's service. Just recently you had Jivapati leave his body, and that's a wonderful thing, that in the service of the Lord one is able to just serve throughout his life, and then at the end of that, then Srila Prabhupada, that was a very, very beautiful quote that Mother Kalangana gave the other day, where Srila Prabhupada was the 81st birthday. And she was quoting Srila Prabhupada's lecture, and you said Prabhupada said, "I'm begging you," right? You know, Prabhupada said, "I'm begging you all to chant 16 rounds a day, and you will get all perfection." No, it was very touching. Prabhupada said, "I'm begging you all, chant 16 rounds a day." And anyway, I still keep coming back every year because I have so many devotees who I know here and who I have both responsibility to and friendship with and connection. Hopefully, I'll be... I put in my resignation so that I'll no longer be a GBC in 2 years, and now I'm trying to convince the devotees in Hungary that with my health issues it should be even faster than that. And then if I have a little more time, I wouldn't travel anywhere else, but if I travel anywhere, I come here. You know, England is the best place for preaching. Yeah, there are different reasons I came to know. Just the fact that it's so geographically small, you've got almost 60 million people condensed in this relatively small geographic area. These people have all had connection with India for 250 years. There's, you know, you have Diwali and the House of Parliament and the Downing Street. It's an unprecedented facility. And it's just working together. As Srila Prabhupada said, if we really cooperate together, then it can really happen. And cooperate together, I don't mean just the management council, they're a very cooperative group. But even what we call the community, it can be very uncooperative sometimes. Sometimes it's a community that has very little in common. So I don't know how it becomes a community if things are not in common and we don't have common thread. But that type of cooperative work, which Srila Prabhupada would always say, yes, requires a head, requires heads, requires management, requires leaders to follow, and ultimately becomes extremely, extremely productive. I think with the Prachetas, that's where in the Bhagavatam Prabhupada says that when the Lord sees the devotees working cooperatively, he gives them their blessings. So I think that's enough. I mean, there's a lot. I'm sorry if things were sort of a little disjointed and not chronological. And as I'm talking, a lot of things come up, but I hope it helped sort of at least painted some of a picture of my experiences. One of the most nicest of which was the year 1984, when in this country for 2 weeks it did not rain and the sun shone. For me, that was great. It was a national disaster. They had like the civil guard out. Everybody was out there, and there was no water to drink and so on. But yes, I remember that was when I came to the UK. I remember I was here for a while, and then once I was coming from Chaitanya College to the Manor, and we stopped somewhere with a caravan. And I said, "There's something wrong here, something unusual. I just wasn't used to it." And I just realized the sun was shining, and that I'd been here for about 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and the sun hadn't shone in all that time. And now, for the first time, I was seeing the sun again. But that was an extraordinary time. It was a wonderful place. If you ever go to Chaitanya College, then you should see the pictures in there. I had many a night in my dreams preaching to the ghosts who lived in those pictures. And they were for real. They were for real. But at least I... And Hare Krishna. Anyway, thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shishu Radha Gokul Nanda ki jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai.
We have some time for questions.
Really?
We still have Prashadamukhi
Sip till 9:50. Well, it's Jai Dwinamar or something. He's been coming and going here since ever.
He's running the BBT, if I remember, because I was working with him at Chaitanya College and
printing press. I remember, yeah. I remember in Chicago, getting a call from Jai Tirtha Prabhu saying, Jai Dwainamar is just coming to England to give a seminar. And I picked you up at one terminal, took you to another, you just checked in, coming on to England. Do you remember that? That must have been in 78, something like that. You came from L.A., maybe?
We were in Vrindavan together, and I'd been in Philadelphia on the West Coast, and I was at that time quite dissatisfied.
I was editor of BTG at that time, and I was staying in Philadelphia on the East Coast in America. And I was very dissatisfied. Those were the great Zonal Guru days, and it was weighing on my mind. Satsukh Maharaj used to say that I had a cloud permanently installed over my head. And then I was in Vrindavan for the annual festival, and you and Indradumna Maharaj and Keshav Bharati Maharaj and maybe Govinda Maharaj, you all canvassed me that what are you doing there? You're just rotting and stewing, and we're having a great time over here, so why don't you join us? Yeah. I said, well, I have responsibilities and this blah, blah, blah. And anyway, you talked me out of it. So then that's when I came over to the UK first. And what I recall is that I spent a lot of time at Soho Street at that time. Maybe Keshav Bharati Maharaj was still there, or maybe he moved on to Spain by that time. He was still there. So we used to both have a great time. You know, with all the people who were moving in and out of Soho. There were so many people to talk to, so many people to speak about Krishna consciousness to. So I was parked there for quite some time. And then I was also involved with BBT matters. Not so much here in the UK, but in Italy, in Greece, in Israel, because here things were going on. But in those places, they didn't really... Italy, of course, was going on. But Israel and Greece, they didn't... They needed a lot of help. And Italy, I used to put in my two bits. And I became... And Spain, I was involved there. So I was traveling around sometimes. And sometimes... I remember I used... They needed, for typesetting, everything was done on a computer. So they needed computers, the Netherlands also, Amsterdam. So they needed computers there to do their typesetting in the Netherlands, in Greece. And computers those days, they had these portable computers, which were about this big, what, compact, you know, big metal boxes that, and I remember I used to carry them over to these countries without regard for formalities, government formalities. and just bring these machines over, you know, on the ferry and work with the devotees there and getting things going. And I used to be involved in all sorts of this and that, but I used to come back here and be preaching here. I never spent much time at the manor, really. I just used to kind of come and give a class or something, but I was more based at Soho Street. Chaitanya College also I visited a few times, but I never really stayed at Chaitanya College more than a night or two nights or something like that. I remember Vichitravirya Prabhu was there and others, but I never really stayed there. But I used to travel with, who was it? They were doing college programs. She was British and he was American. Atmananda. We used to travel and do college programs in Bristol and Bath and here and there. And I remember we passed through Chaitanya College in one of its last days after it they decided to sell it, and I remember I looked at it and, you know, sort of was there, and I said, as soon as they sell it, they'll want it back. Anyway, we have a corresponding disaster in New York City, so we sympathize. But we prevented Spain. That was something good. I remember Kandati, and just a detail, but at that inquiry, what was it called? A public inquiry, and the QC for the other side was Miss Elizabeth Appleby, who was straight out of Central Casting. She was fantastic. She was a little older, with, you know, just the right amount of gray hair to be distinguished, and these sort of square steel-rimmed glasses that perched far down on her nose so that she could give piercing looks at the people that she was interrogating. She's interrogating really Akundati. And what's his civil name?
Martin Fleming.
And Mr. Fleming, how many people do you get on Janmashtami? Well, we get about, you know, X number of people. And where do all those people park? Well, we have an arrangement with the farmer next door, and we pay a small fee, and he allows us to park the cars there. And what would you do, Mr. Fleming, if he were to refuse permission, if he were no longer to grant permission for you to park your cars on Janmashtami? And Akundati gave this sort of apologetic and sort of defeated sort of look. He said, well, I guess that would be a serious problem. And she gave this sort of triumphant aha. But what she didn't know was that morning we'd signed the deed on the property and we owned it. But Akundati was perfectly poker-faced.
I remember Govinda Maharaj actually was here in the UK for, I don't know, 6 months, 9 months, something like that, in Manchester.
Well, I don't think I was here at the same time as Govinda Maharaj was, but I spent a lot of time in Soho with Bhagavad Ashray. He was so great. He was fantastic to work with. He was just a pleasure. He used to provide so much facility and he run interference when the ladies got too close, the visiting ladies. There were some highly motivated visitors. And
he's an actor.
Yeah.
He's a professional actor. When I just remember when I was small, you know, my father would do this trick, is that, you know, he would, like, by standing by, he would turn around and instead of walking out the door, he would, like, walk into the door. So when I told Bhagavad-Ashraya that, he sort of remembered that, and then every time either we were in an argument or sometimes he didn't feel good, then he would do that trick. Because when, for the last 60 years, whenever I see that, I laugh. So he's still, but he does it better than my father did. Tribhuvanath Prabhu was also one of the devotees who came back at that.
The last time I came to the manor, and, you know, his diagnosis was there, and his time was measured. I said,
gonna die.
You know, like it's gonna rain on Tuesday.
Gonna die.
Completely.
Remember, he was coming in, because devotees very always think of him with great affection, and he was a very, very wonderful, charismatic person. And he was still working outside. And he started coming around Soho Street and bringing his daughter. All I remember is she had this super curly-haired little daughter. And sometimes I'd meet, see him, and I remember once sitting with him in the restaurant, and he said, I have to move in. And I said, really? He said, yeah. He says, I need to take it seriously now. And I said, why? He said, I had a dream. Prabhupada came to me. He said, if you don't move in now, I can't help you any further. So he, and that was his, he did a swan song. It was long, for quite, how long? Huh? 15 years?
He's remembered very much Africa too. Mm. I remember I ran into him one time. I was traveling Kenya or someplace. He was traveling between Tanzania and somewhere, and on this bus that was breaking down. Jolly. Very much appreciated. A lot of people who
I remember banging on the drum. Prabhupada said, he can't play mridanga, but he's very enthusiastic. All right, time. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.